You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Tom Moodley, former acting secretary of the Navy, the author of a book, Vectors, that tells the story of Tom's time inside the DOD, having been a naval officer many years before in the 20th century. He's a veteran of the DOD in the 21st century, and that brings us to an article that he's published at Real Clear Defense. I'm not Navy, I'm outside, but I read Navy. And reading Tom's most recent piece, he makes a case for something called spinning off the U.S. Navy. As in Wall Street spinning off, name the company that's doing very well that you can sell to the investor class by itself, standalone. Tom, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this because when I first read the title, I thought, where's it spinning to? Makes wonderful sense that it's back to the beginning. The U.S. Navy right now is subsumed under the thinking of the Department of Defense. But the Department of Defense, sometimes called the Department of War, does not date back to the foundation of the Navy or even the Army. It's a contraption from corporate thinking, I guess, that it was invented in the 19th century and blossomed in the 20th century. Is it time to retire that corporate thinking? Good evening to you, Tom.
Thank you, John, for having me on. That's a good question, and that's the question I tried to raise in this particular piece. It's something I think that is worth considering, and I know it's provocative, but I want to provoke some thinking on this. So the example I use in the article is the example, the corporate example of Fiat Chrysler, which recognized in 2014 or so that they had an underperforming asset within their portfolio, which was Ferrari. And Ferrari had a rich tradition, historic tradition, and they felt that the value of that brand was being underutilized and underperforming within this larger corporate structure. So they made the decision for reasons of A1 to raise some capital for FCA, but also to sort of unleash Ferrari to spin it off. And this happens often in corporate America, where you have an underperforming asset or you have a highly performing asset and you need to remove it from the larger corporate structure to generate greater value for both entities. And this is what happened with Ferrari, and this happened in 2017, and it was a very successful spinoff both for the parent company and for Ferrari itself. And so I was thinking about that example and thinking about the Navy and all the struggles that the Navy has experienced over the last 10 years or so, probably longer, both in shipbuilding and in ship repair and maintenance and some of the other bigger challenges that they have looking ahead. And I thought that maybe this was a time, particularly given the fact that the Secretary of Defense and now Secretary of War has renamed the Department of Defense the Department of War, that perhaps it makes sense to go back to those original roots, go back to what the Constitution says about the difference between the Navy and the Army, and spin the Navy back out, give it greater attention from the Congress, and give it greater attention from the President and its ultimate customers, the American people. And so that's the premise of the idea there in the article.
What is the thinking today in Washington? You were there 10 minutes ago, and the thinking today in Washington, are we a continental power or a naval power? Do they make that distinction?
Well, I think we're struggling with that a little bit. And I've said this many times before, that one of the fundamental problems with the Navy and the lack of strategy for the Navy is that the Navy strategy is the derivative of the defense strategy, and the defense strategy is a derivative of the national strategy. And I think that we're struggling as a nation to determine what our strategy is and what our destiny should be. Should we be more of a Fortress America, America first, to borrow a phrase from people, or should we be more of a globally engaged? I personally don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. I think they are complementary things. But there's a debate going on, and unfortunately, the way our politics are right now, every 4 years, one side of the debate takes over and tries to undo what the previous side of the debate did in the previous 4 years. And that's what I experienced when I was there in the department. That lack of continuity delivers very, I would say, ambiguous strategy, and therefore that gets translated into what the actual fleet looks like and our ability to actually deliver it.
It's not only the budget, then, it's the emphasis. And the emphasis these days, I couldn't tell you. The National Security Strategy just posted what we can see of it, suggests the Fortress New World, Monroe Doctrine. Now, in that, you'd have to say the Navy is a major factor. They're presuming the Navy is a major factor. Does the Navy think of itself, okay, we're number one now. We've got two oceans. We've got the Caribbean, and we have to project power. They're counting on us. We can see that off the coast of Venezuela and Colombia right now with these interdictions of the shadow fleet. That's naval power. There's no division of artillerymen out there, and not going to be. So does that matter to the DOD? Do they think, you know, we've made a decision. We're a naval power. Do they hear that?
Well, I hope so. I hope that they do. I'm not 100% certain that they do. I think the best way that you can determine whether they do is if you see major shifts in the budget. And I wrote about this in my book in a chapter about the budget process and how the budget process, particularly in this DOD construct, it seems like a big pie and everyone gets their 30% share of the pie between the Army, Navy, and the Air Force. And those ratios don't change all that much year to year. I would argue that perhaps maritime power, space, and space should be more than half of the Navy, of the overall defense budget, because of its how critical it is to the security of the nation with respect to commerce. It regardless of whether the United States decides to become, you know, bring more manufacturing home and reestablish our industrial base, that has implications for our ability to sell things overseas, which we're going to want to have to do because our market itself is not big enough to sustain that. So we have to be able to export products, which I think would be good for the nation. But you have to be able to protect those sea lanes that deliver those products. And it's not just the sea lanes. It's the stuff that's under the sea as well. The transatlantic cables that carry trillions and trillions of dollars of financial transactions on a daily basis are largely unprotected by anything. And the ability, as well as oil pipelines and things like that to deliver energy, these things are largely unprotected and extremely vulnerable. And those are not the kinds of things that an army can protect. Those are the things that a navy can protect. And you can actually even extend that into space when you think about satellite communications and how much of our information and data is flowing up through space now. All those things need to be defended. There doesn't mean you necessarily have to fight a war over them or that you have to have war fighters. They have to be defended. And so I think that this emphasis on declaring that everyone in the Department of Defense is a warfighter, I think, is a little bit misplaced.
The Admiralty, once upon a time, it might have been Jellicoe, I forget. I won't say that you remember the quote, I don't say the French won't come, I only say they won't come by sea. And everybody laughed in Parliament. Well, the same thing could be said right now. We won't say the Chinese won't come, but we will say they won't come by sea. That right now, that's the condition. That's very blunt. It doesn't have anything to do with the Monroe Doctrine. It has to do with the adversaries. Is that also a problem, Tom? Is the DOD reluctant to name China as the adversary?
Well, when I was there, I was certainly not very shy in doing that. But there were multiple times where I said that in meetings, and I was told, no, they're a competitor. They're not our adversary. And I found that to be a bit of a semantic game. They're clearly an adversary. The things that they do on a daily basis, not just to expand their influence in our hemisphere, but also to disrupt things in the South China Sea, the illegal activities that they're doing in the South China Sea, and then the stuff they're doing in the cyber world and industrially, industrial espionage and things like that. They're constantly acting as an adversary would act. And so I find nothing wrong with doing that. Certainly, if we are able to, through diplomacy and other channels, change that type of relationship, then that's fine, and I'd be happy with that. But that's not the state of play today.
And about the Army, since the disappointment about Afghanistan and Iraq, the disappointment about the Army's withdrawal from Vietnam, reaching back into our youth, all of that, is that also in the DOD that the Army is not, this is not D-Day, this is not that military? Do they think that way in the DOD?
I don't really know how they're thinking now about it, to be honest with you, because I'm not there on a daily basis. But when I was there, I think there still was generally an Army-centric view of the world. You had a Secretary of Defense who was an Army guy. You had a chairman of the JCS who was an Army guy. Not to say that they were closed-minded to other things, but any suggestion that the Army should give up part of its budget to fund the Navy or a broader Navy or a more capable Navy or Space Force, those types of discussions would not have lasted very long in the department. So I don't know if that's the case now. I would hope that there are a little bit more open minds about this now, but that has traditionally been, you know, that's the food fight in the Pentagon constantly, is who gets their piece of the pie and who doesn't get their piece of the pie. I remember when I was trying to get an additional $5 billion in the budget in late 2020 to continue this drive towards a larger Navy. And we were shorted in the budget. We needed another $5 billion to continue construction on a couple of ships. And then talking to the Secretary of Defense about it, and he basically looked at me and said, Tom, well, where am I going to get the money? And, you know, that was sort of a rhetorical question, because the answer to me was the Army. But that was a question that certainly could not be asked from an Army, someone who had formerly been the Army Secretary. So we had to go and try and find it ourselves within the Navy budget, which also I think is completely possible, because there's a lot of waste in the budget in and of itself. But that's why I think sort of spinning the Navy out of that structure and allowing it to have a little bit more transparency with the American people and with the Congress, and more focused management that's not dealing with this additional layer in between it, I think would be a positive step
forward.
All right,
let's turn to what is to be done specifically. Tom Modley, writing at Real Clear Defense, spinning off the Navy. What's it going to look like? How do you do it? Well, you're starting that right now. The threat is clear. The Chinese Navy is reporting, according to Claude, 370 warships. The U.S. Navy, on its best day, has 290. And those numbers are getting wider apart, not closer apart. So what is to be done now? Tom Modley, a former acting Secretary of the Navy, the author of Vectors and the Real Clear Defense piece. I'm John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at cvs.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.